Welcome to the One Small Change. And I am thrilled again to embark with you on this journey and exploration. I'm your host, Yvonne McCoy, and I bring almost 30 years of entrepreneurial experience and passion for discovering growth through the power of seemingly small change. And I want to thank you for taking your time and joining me today on this entrepreneurial journey. And this week, we're going to be talking with Carrie Wallace. And I want to tell you, first of all, I want to tell you that this woman got up before 6 o'clock in the morning to be here with us today so that we could share some information from her, which is going to be amazing and is going to be worth it. And so I hope that you will take what she has to say to heart. And Carrie and I also shared another experience that we'll talk about later, but with the, we're both on the Voices of Women. And which is, Carrie, remind me, what it's the National Day, Women's Day, right?
International Women's Day, yes.
Right. And there were like almost 300 women speakers on that event. So we will talk about that a little bit more. So Carrie, welcome. And again, thank you so much for giving up your sleep to be here today with us. So tell us a little bit about what you do and what was the small change that got you started and what you're doing.
Beautiful. Thank you, Yvonne. Well, first of all, I would just like to thank you for having me on this amazing podcast. I love your energy. I know we've connected a few times over the last few months, and it's always a joy to speak with you and to hear your thoughts as well. So coaches, healers, counselors hire me to help them craft a message that's going to resonate with their audience, engage their audience, and make sales. Because I've discovered over the years that many, many gifted professionals actually fear marketing because they're unsure how to connect with their ideal clients in a way that leads to sales. Bottom line, they build a list of buyers when working with me and close over 50% of sales calls guaranteed. So that's what I do. And a small change, although it wasn't actually so small, that made a massive difference and massive impact in my life was way back when my children were really tiny and my business was just getting started and I didn't really know the direction I wanted to go in. And my husband was diagnosed with cancer. Not so small a change.
Stop.
And 1 year later, one ridiculously short year later, he died. And it was being left without an inheritance with two small children, a business that was generating a very sporadic £2,000, not even every month. I won't even say every other month. It really was sporadic. It was being left in that situation, completely bereft, numb. There were days where I couldn't even tell you if the sun rose. It was a difficult time. And it was through that experience and realizing I need to do something pretty quickly, or we're going to lose our house. And my children not only would have lost their father, but we'd have lost our home as well, that I realized I had to turn my business around and I had to do it fast. It was the impact of that realization that led me to really diving into marketing, what marketing really was, and how I could market a service, my service, in a way that was consistent and would bring clients to my business consistently. And that's what I did. I studied a gazillion marketing courses. I had coaching qualifications and all the rest of it, but I studied marketing. I became a certified copywriter, certified in digital marketing, and I just looked at everything. And I realized that so much of marketing is so confusing to so many people that it wasn't really surprising that I hadn't a clue what I was doing. And it was through that work that I pulled together my From Strangers to Clients marketing system and realized that the fundamental principle of marketing is relationships.
Mm. And you know, it sounds oversimplified, but changing from a transactional relationship to a relationship, a transformative relationship, makes all the difference in the world. And you know, it's I had someone say this to me about a year and a half ago, and really started looking at how I was writing and how I was saying things, and went, oh my God, this is so transactional. I mean, it just, so it is a huge, I mean, it's a shift, but it's one of those shifts that once you see it, it starts out small, and then it has a ripple effect, and then it just gets bigger.
100%.
Can you give us, I also want to say that, you know, so often when we have these situations that knock us off our feet, I mean, because that's what happened to me in 2020, as I lost all my clients and needed to get clients fast. And something else happened earlier when I lost the job, and suddenly, you know, it clears the decks, it clears the cobwebs. And I think it kind of says to you, if I have to start over, for me, it was like, if I have to start over, I want to do something I want to do. Do you know what I mean? I need clients and stuff, but you know, what kind of clients do I want? So let me ask you, how does having a relationship with people change the whole sales process?
It's a great question, Yvonne. And you're right. It sounds way too simple, and yet it isn't. Because how do you build a relationship with somebody that you're not even talking to? When you're starting marketing, they are a complete stranger. They're out there in the ether, and you don't even know necessarily who they are. So it changes everything because I discovered that there really are just three pillars to a successful business: connection, clarity, and confidence. And the first one, connection, that's all about this relationship. And it's probably best explained. I have a story that I'll share that will hopefully explain why this connection is so important. And I was reading an article about a maple tree farm in Ontario, Hamilton, Ontario. And it so happened that the owner of this farm, her name was Anne, was really struggling with her trees. They weren't maturing and they weren't producing the maple syrup that they needed to produce. Bear with me. You may be thinking, what's this got to do with marketing and relationships? Bear with me. I'm coming there. I'm getting there. So Anne's farm, the trees on her farm were surrounded. There was forest all around them. And there were roads that were disconnecting the trees on her farm from the trees on the in the forests around her. And there's an important fungus that grows in the earth called mycelium. And the mycelium is like a conduit for food, for nutrients, for water between the trees. And what was happening, because the trees on her farm were blocked from reaching the trees in the surrounding forest, they couldn't connect. So the all-important mycelia weren't able to act as that conduit. They weren't able to remove the toxins from the soil and nourish the trees. Hence, the trees were really struggling. And as I was reading this article, apparently seemingly completely irrelevant to marketing, it occurred to me it's exactly what happens with marketing. Most professionals, most business owners, we are surrounded by people crying out for help for our services, for your service. And if you are unable to create a connection with them, you're going to be like those trees on Anne's maple tree farm in Hamilton, Ontario. You're going to be there, you're going to be surrounded by your potential clients, but you won't be able to reach them. So connection is absolutely vital. And if you think about it, we humans are a species, we're a social species. We need connection to flourish, to grow, just like trees need that connection under the soil in their roots to flourish and grow. So then the question becomes, okay, I get I need to connect with potential clients. I need to connect with people that I would love to work with. But how do I do that? How can I build a relationship with a complete stranger? And that all comes down to understanding. You need to understand what is going on in their world, what it's like in their world, the problems that they have, the issues that they have. Because otherwise, if you just talk about you and where you're at and what you've achieved, that's all about you. That's you being that isolated tree, unable to connect with your audience. It's only when you can talk about and understand and talk about what's important to them, your potential clients, that you have any chance of creating that connection, that human to human connection.
And I think just to add on to that, I think, it took me a while to understand that the thing that makes me, the journey that I've been on, there are people who are on that same journey that I can connect with so much easier than, let's say, people that I've never shared the journey with. And so that's the thing that helps you to get better clients, I think, is when you are yourself. I mean, I talk about the workshop that I do, and when I first started it, I jokingly said I had like something like 60 PowerPoint slides, and it was like I practiced it and I had my professional whatever on, right? And one of my clients who was at the workshop said to me, "I have to tell you, the person that shows up at that workshop is not the person I love working with. She's like robotic in the workshop. She's not being, you're not being you." And now I'm down to like 10 slides at my workshop, and I spend more time trying to interact and saying, "What do you need? Let's talk about what's going on," that kind of thing. And I think that's true for even something as simple as networking. Instead of going into a networking situation, trying to find a client, going in and saying, "I'm looking for opportunities to collaborate. Let's
Absolutely.
see what we can do together." So, can you give me some other examples? Like you said, you had your three pillars. So we talked about well, we didn't talk about confidence per se.
No,
So
we haven't yet.
is there something you want to?
Just before that, I want to pick up something that you were saying about being you, because the second pillar is clarity. And clarity is very much about processes and knowing very clearly where you're going. And there's another key piece to clarity that I discovered that most marketing programs misses. And it links very closely to what you were just saying. And to explain this, it's probably easiest again to use another analogy. Have you ever done a jigsaw, Yvonne?
A jigsaw puzzle
A jigsaw puzzle,
as
yes.
opposed to like a jigsaw.
As opposed to a
Yes,
mechanical
I have done
thing.
a jigsaw puzzle.
I used to love doing them with the kids when they were little. In fact, we still do them occasionally, and they're well grown up now. Have you ever done a jigsaw puzzle and you've got all the pieces from the box? And you sit back to admire your picture, and there's this gaping hole in the middle of your puzzle. Well, that's kind of what marketing is like without this missing piece. And that missing piece is your marketing personality. Because there are, as we said at the start, there are a gazillion different ways that you can market your services. They are not all going to work for you, they all work. They won't all work for you. How do you know which ones to use? That's your marketing personality. That's identifying your, and it's more than just who you are. It's who you are and how you convey your message, how you convey yourself, how you make that all-important connection with people, with your ideal clients. And so I developed a quiz. An assessment actually that goes quite deep into, I'm a professional counselor psychology trained, so it goes quite deep into the psychology of you to identify what your marketing personality is so that the marketing strategy that you then develop and implement, you know, is going to be right for you. And that does two things. One, it gives you clarity in what you are doing in your marketing. You don't need to worry about the strategies that aren't going to work for you. You can just focus your attention on the ones that will. And the second thing it does, it enables you to be you. You can be completely relaxed because you know that the strategies you're using are right for the person that you are. That relaxes you. You will be more authentic. You will be more genuine. And guess what happens when you're authentic and genuine? You attract people to you. You become like that. And I don't like the word magnet, but I'm going to use it. You become like that client magnet. People are drawn to you because they recognize something in you that's in them. And that again forms that all important connection.
Well, I think the thing that's really interesting that I've learned is that the more authentic you are and the more you use the language that is yours and appeals to people who have that same issue, the easier, I mean, I find it myself when I read somebody else's copy and they use some language that I use, I'm like, oh, you know, they're kind of on the same track. And what it does is it helps to build trust because the person, the client says, they get me. They see the world the way I see the world. So they can, you know, step into my shoes or they've been in my shoes and they can absolutely help me to figure this out. And, you know, and in a lot of cases, what we're doing is where when you clarify it, it streamlines what you're doing. So you're actually doing more of the right thing and less of a lot of frantic things. So you get to focus and it becomes very clear what you're about. So I absolutely agree with you. I don't want us to run out of time. So I want to take a couple minutes just to make sure you have a chance to give people just a couple of action steps that they can take.
Absolutely. I will just quickly say the third pillar being confidence, which of course underpins everything else. If you don't genuinely believe you can succeed, you're going to struggle. So nothing, you might know all the what, you might know the how, you might have the strategy, you might have the processes. If you don't have the internal world in alignment and believing deep down, then you're going to struggle. So that's why my third pillar is confidence. So let's look at some simple steps, some simple actions that people can take that will start moving them forward. The first thing I would always encourage people to do is think about who. Who is your ideal audience? And I hear many coaches and counselors when I first start working with them say, well, I can work with everybody. Yes, you can. Who would you love to work with? Who would you be so excited to know that you have a meeting with them that day that you're going to bounce out of bed full of energy? Those are your best fit clients. And you really need to dive deep. And it's beyond the standard demographics. Go deep into the psychographics. What sort of person are they? And they may be a reflection of you, but not necessarily. So do that work. Step number one, do that work and identify who it is that you would love to work with.
That is so important. And I have to tell you that going into the psychographics made a huge difference for me in terms of who I wanted to work with. What's the next step? I have a trash truck. I don't know if you can hear that or not.
I heard something. I didn't know what it was.
So I'm kind of muting myself in between. So give me your other two steps.
Okay. So the second step is then to be very clear. Once you know who, what is their challenge? What is their problem in their eyes? See it through their eyes. Step into their shoes. Hear their language. Hear their words. You mentioned a second ago, Yvonne, that when you get an email and somebody uses words that you use, you instantly feel connected. You feel that somebody has got you. Well, the way that you get that, yes, you need to be authentic and You need to fully understand what your ideal audience, what your best fit clients, how they describe the problem. And I'll give an example here. I've worked with a lot of relationship counselors over the years and coaches over the years. And they may well know from their perspective that in order to attract the ideal partner, they need to work on their self-esteem and they need to learn to love themselves. That's what they need. When they're first meeting their ideal clients, those potential clients don't know that that's what they need, or they might not recognize it. They simply want to have a good date. So do you see the difference? If you're talking about what you think they need, the language is not going to resonate. So the step number one, identify who. Step number two, learn their language. What is the problem through their eyes? How do they describe it? What do they want? And then you can use that language in step number three in crafting your message that is genuine to who you are and will resonate with your ideal audience, and that will attract people to you.
I had a coach once who said, you paint the door red with what they want, but once they come in the house, you give them what they need.
100%, yes.
You know, and at the time when she said it, I was doing a lot of things that had to do with productivity. And so for most people, they wanted time management, which really wasn't the problem. You know, it was what you were spending your time on, not how many blocks you were, you know, and how many things you were checking up. And so I think that that's really, really important. And I think the other thing is, I think in terms of the marketing, is there are enough clients to go around, and not coming from a scarcity perspective, like I have to get this client, you know, kind of thing, will do so much for you. The right client is willing to pay more for your specialized expertise because they don't have to go through, this sounds terrible, they don't have to go through that training process to get you, you know, caught up to where they are. And it's really funny. I mean, when I first started coaching, I did a lot of tech guys. I don't know why, but they kept referring, you know. And in terms of the perfect client, they always paid in full. They showed up for their appointments. I mean, there were so many things that were really good about them. But when the engagement was over, I was like so happy. I mean, it was like at the end, it was like, ugh, we just, you know. And so it, the difference between that and having people that I really enjoy working with, you know, that are really coachable in the way that I coach, is so fulfilling and so rewarding. They get results and I'm happy.
That's exactly what I was saying just a second ago. Your best fit clients, you're excited to work with them and they're excited to work with you, and you end up delivering your best. And if you're like me, over deliver. I like to under promise and over deliver.
Yes.
And anyone that knows me, I think, knows that absolutely happens. 100%, 100%. You don't get that connection.
So let's do this. Let's make sure we tell everybody what the free gift is, because we want to make sure people take advantage of that before we close things down, before we run out of time.
Beautiful. I'm super, super excited for this one, Yvonne. What I've done, I have a 5-day masterclass, is an hour each day, that deep dives into those three pillars. There's a whole day on confidence where you will get to understand, okay, what are those inner blocks? What has stopped you getting where you want to get to? Why aren't you at the level of success that you deserve to be at? Whole day on that, and there's a whole day on clarity, and there's a whole day on connection, and I show you how you can get connection and clarity in your marketing. Usually this masterclass costs, and I'm delighted to offer it to your listeners at no charge.
Oh my God. So,
and the link will be below the video, I believe, and it's youcansucceedenlightenyousolutions.com/youcansucceed special, with hyphens between the words, but you'll see the link below the vid.
So, guys, you need to make sure you pick that up and take it, because this, your marketing is your face to the world. This is how people see you. This is the what gets them through the door so that they can get to not only know you, but love you. And that's really, clients that love you is the biggest productivity tip you can have, because they stay with you and they tell other people about you. So that's amazing. All right. So here's the question of the day that I do at the end of each podcast. When was the last time you did something new for the first time?
It was quite recently, actually, just a couple of years ago, where I decided that I didn't want to fester away as I aged, and I learnt to kayak. Now, I used to be a sprinter. That's way back when in my 20s, long time ago. Kayaking on the beautiful rivers that we have here in New South Wales is, oh my gosh, it is such a stress release. You cannot help but feel calm when you're on the waters paddling away. So I learned to kayak.
Love the water. I love the water. So I'm going to bring us home. I want to make sure to remind everybody to subscribe and share and to, engage in the podcast. See, go to the main page and you can get all the other podcasts that I've done. And this is kind of my way of giving back to this community and helping you fuel your quest rather, for growth and impact. And I hope that you're going to join me for the One Small Change and go on this journey with me and listen to a lot of our other podcasts and whatever exciting guests that we have coming up. So if I were to ask you for, your last words that you want to leave people with, what would you say?
Well, I'm going to quote, if you want something that you've never had, if you're not where you deserve to be in your life or in your business, you need to do something that you've never done before.
I couldn't agree with you more. And on that note, I want people to remember, change can be simple, but it's not always easy. It requires courage, resilience, and a willingness to step out of your comfort zone to do something different, just like Carrie said. So I hope you will join me with the One Small Change again next week. And as always, I'm going to bring you an exciting guest. And until then, stay curious. Carrie, thank you so much. We're going to be doing stuff in the future together. I can see it in my crystal ball.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you.